Am I on? I think so. All right. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And I am truly honored that the Lord would invite me to speak and to minister and to be a part of His kingdom. I am honored. I do not treat it lightly. It is one of these things that I cherish with all my life, my heart, my being, that God actually says, you know what? I'm not finished with you.
Amen. That's right.
So I'm here. Praise God. Here to be myself in the Lord. To preach the word in the Lord. You guys are here to listen to the word in the Lord. Amen? Like Pastor Denise said, yeah, there's 10,000 angels per person that's been dispatched. Sometimes we need more. That's okay. I'll take them. Hallelujah. Man, but can you hear me okay? Is it too bassy? Are we okay? Right back there? We're good? All right. Great. What we're going to talk about tonight is I'm going to share a story. Okay, now this story, and I know that Kathy likes stories and get into the stories, but from a Hebraic point of view. Is that okay?
Yes.
Into that? Okay, it's Pastor Denise on Sunday, and the following Sunday is we get into Easter Sunday, and she's going to be ministering, and there's going to be a lot of preaching going on about Easter Sunday, Passover. Okay, the triumphal entry, the betrayal. A lot of things have been going on about that. And that's okay. That's good. We need to know that. But there are some scriptures that are like a forerunner, a prequel, as it were, a trailer before the real thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay? There's a story that takes place in the scriptures, and Jesus even talks about this story, and we're going to get to that. Okay? Now, before we pray, the title, go ahead and put the title up if you like. I think I gave it to you, right? Okay. Last time I ministered and shared, we talked about living in the anointing. We're going to be expounding on that. We're going to be living in the anointing part 2. And it does entail a Jewish story, part 2. You say, the anointing? Jewish people are anointed? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody can be anointed. Yeah. Anybody can be. But it is up to God. It's His will, not ours. Because if it was my will, everybody in here be healed right now. You know, that's great. I'd like that. You know, just, you know, everybody have their needs met right now. Phew, that's my will. But the Lord just says, you know what? Sometimes we don't get to that level where we can receive that. You see what I said? We don't get to that place where God says, okay, here, you can have that. And it's like, good, I'm not going to abuse it because He's trusting me. How many like to be trusted? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to get into the story tonight. And again, like I said, it's like an Easter story along with the Passover, and it's along with the resurrection. Okay? Our keynote scripture, let's put it up there right now. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And before we read, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, again, this evening is not my will, it's Your will. And I'm asking You, Father, to just let us all experience Your anointing tonight, Your presence, Your dwelling in us. As we get into the Word tonight, that Your Word would just go forth. And I call the word forth, stating that I call life, I call health, I call our needs being met because of the word that's going to be coming forth tonight. And I ask You, Father, that it'll be planted deep in our hearts, that it'll be received by those who hear the word, that we may grow thereby. And all those who are in agreement will say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, our keynote scripture is Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And in the New King James, it says, It shall come to pass, I'm going to move this here, it shall come to pass that in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing or the anointing oil. Okay? Has anybody ever had a yoke before? And I'm not talking about an egg. Yokes are not good unless you use the yoke to fasten two oxen together, two horses, two donkeys, to something that is equal. Because the scripture even says, do not be unequally yoked. See, be just like this, you know, trying to be yoked. You know, it's like yoking a giraffe with a lion. It's not going to work. So we have to be equally yoked. So when we all become in unity, in one agreement about something, we're equally yoked. Things happen. Okay? The day of Pentecost, it took 50 days because they were waiting for Pentecost, which was 50 days later. And once they were in unity, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. Something happened that never happened before. Hallelujah. And let's go to the next verse. Romans, it's a new one. Romans 11:29. And it says, for the gifts. Everybody say gifts. Gifts, it's plural. And the calling of God are irrevocable. Amen. What gift have you received from the Lord? It's irrevocable. God's not going to take it away. Okay? It's still going to be there. And in the story that we're going to get to tonight, you're going to see that this individual had a gift. And no matter this person, what he did, God still had him gifted. And we're going to get into that, okay? We talked about something about if you wanted to get God's attention, what did you have to do last time? Cry out. That's right. Cry out. Cry out like blind Bartimaeus. Cry out. Cry out. Fall on our faces, on our knees, whatever. Just cry out to the Lord. You're going to get his attention. But you got to cry out more than once. How many times did he cry out? At least twice. Okay, so that's telling us, I got to do it at least twice. I got to cry out. I got to cry out. But did you know that when you get the Lord's attention, that you can also get his attention in a negative way? Did you know that, Josh? In a negative way. What do you mean? Well, I'm doing something. I want to get the Lord's attention, but backfired. Maybe the flesh was involved, and you do something that is selfish. And the Lord still comes on the scene, but something happens. We're going to find out about something. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 29. And as you're turning there, Luke 11, verse 29. We're going to start with this story. But before we get to it, I'm going to give an affirmation. Everybody know what an affirmation is? You affirm something that the scripture says. Okay? Because in the Old Testament story we're going to get to, this individual was giving affirmations. Here's the first one. I'm going to say it, then I'm going to have you repeat it after me. And it's found in Ephesians 4:27. It says, I do not give the devil a foothold. Say it again. I do not give the devil a foothold. Okay, we said it twice right there. That's got to be an affirmation to you. Should be something we should be saying all the time so that our heart knows that, hey, I don't give the foothold of the devil at all. And then all of a sudden your head's going to believe it too. These are what affirmations are. Okay, in James 4, 7, and I'm going to follow me on this one. It says, I submit myself to God. I resist the devil. And he flees from me. Really? It's true. It's an affirmation. And if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. The more we speak affirmations, our heart begins to believe it. Let's say it again. I submit myself to God. I resist the devil, and he flees from me. That's found in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I know it's not up there, but that's an affirmation. And we're going to be getting into affirmations because it is biblical and it is scriptural. Here we go. We're in Luke chapter 11, and we're starting with verse 29. We're going to read verse 29 and 30. In the King James, it says, and when the people were gathered thick together, thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Everybody knows what the Hebrew for evil means. It means dysfunctional. Okay? So when you see the word evil, think of dysfunctionality. Okay? Jesus is saying, this is a dysfunctional generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Everybody knows the story of Jonah so far, right? Okay, we're going to see how much we know about that. Let's go to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 12. Starting with verse 38, we're going to read 38 through 41. You guys all there? I like to hear the Bible pages turning. Here we go. Matthew 12, verse 38 says, then a certain group of the scribes and the Pharisees answered Jesus, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, an evil or a dysfunctional and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Kind of what we just read, right? He's going to go into a little more detail. He says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they what? They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus told them that. A greater than Jonah is here. Did they believe? No. As we keep going, we're going to find out they did not. Now, we're going to go through quite a few scriptures. If you bear with me, okay, listen to me closely. If you bear with me in these scriptures we go through, you're going to hear them. They'll get inside you. They're going to penetrate, and you're going to see this story come to life. Okay? Not just a Sunday school story. It's going to come to life to you because the scripture says that about itself, that this is a living thing. It's alive. It's living. I want it to be alive in me. I do. I mean, I want it to be alive and stay alive in me. And that is really up to me. All right, let's everybody turn to the book of Jonah. We're going to go through, like I said, a lot of scriptures here. We're almost going to read the whole book of Jonah, but you know what? It's only 3 chapters. It's not very big at all. It's relatively small. Well, 4 chapters, sorry. But we're not going to read all of them. Jonah, the book of Jonah. Everybody find it? It's a real small book in the Old Covenant. We're going to start with verse 1. And it says here, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry or preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Okay, hear what God's saying here? The wickedness of the city is so wicked that it has come up to God. Verse 2, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now, he was in the presence of the Lord here. He was getting an anointed word, and he fled. "And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." This is an individual who's running from God. Is that not true? He is running from him. Now, this is a story we're going to really get into. He's a person who was in the presence of God, anointed to hear the word of God, but yet he didn't like what he heard, so he ran. The beginning of verse 3 says, But Jonah. Now verse 4 says, "But the Lord," and really in the King James it says, But God sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likened to be broken, torn to pieces, right? We get a picture of that. What's happening here? "Then the mariners were afraid and cried unto every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship to lay down and was fast asleep." This is a man who is running from God, but his conscience, he didn't care. He's asleep. Verse 6, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, or what's the matter with you, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so he be the God that you think will help us, so that we don't perish. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon," guess who? Jonah. Now, I played baseball all my life, and I want to tell you something. If your mind is not right on the baseball field, okay, whatever it is you're thinking about, okay, the ball will find you. The ball will find you. If you're in right field and you're daydreaming and thinking about something, here goes a ball out to you that's got some backspin onto it. You're going to go catch it, and whoo, that ball just tails right away from you. That ball found you and exposed that your mind is not in the game. He's asleep. The Spirit of the Lord finds him through the casting of lots. Does this sound like a story so far that happened at the time of the crucifixion? Were people casting lots for something? For the clothing of Jesus, yeah. Verse 8. "Then they said unto him," to Jonah, "Tell us, we pray you, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is your occupation, and when did you come here? What is your country, and of what people are you?" What people are you? Josh, who are you? You say, I'm just Josh. Okay, well, what people are you? Whose blood is in your veins? And he said unto them, I am a what? I am a Hebrew. I am a Hebrew. And Hebrew, in the Hebrew, actually means one who crossed over. Abraham was the father of the Hebrews. And they called him, oh, he's the one who crossed over. So everybody took that upon themselves. And that's my family. I've crossed over. I've crossed over. So I'm going to cross over in this story here. I'm going to flee the voice of the Lord. I'm going to still cross over because don't forget, I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from where? The presence of the Lord. Is there a difference in us when we go around and we go shopping at the mall or go pump gas or whatever? There should be a difference. The presence of the Lord should still be on us wherever we go. It doesn't matter. Especially if you get heathen people say, ah, yeah, we know you came from the presence of the Lord. What, did he have a halo on his head? How do they know? Because he had told them that they were, that he was from the presence of the Lord. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea is wroth, or angry, and very tempestuous. And he said to them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, unto you, unto you, unto you. Not to him, unto you, unto you. Unto you this day a child was born in the city of David. Unto you it's born. Those two words, unto you. Take it to yourself. Take it to yourself. Unto me Jesus was born. Unto me. Unto you. Okay, this story is trying to paint a picture here. Because don't forget, we read it in Luke and Matthew. Jesus was talking about this story. Was he not? This is the sign. This is the sign. Okay? For I know that for my sake, this is a great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it into land, but they could not, for the sea was angry and tempestuous against them. So in other words, they tried to do it in the flesh. Right? Verse 14. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord. Notice how even the heathen become Christians. Or try to be. They talk the language, right? We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, has done as it pleases you. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Has anybody ever made a vow before? Oh, Lord, if you did this, I won't do that. Ever happen? Man, like everybody's reading my mail too, right? You know, we all do it. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, or a whale, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. When I first read this story years ago, I'm thinking, what was Jonah doing there for 3 days and three nights? Building a fire? Eating some fish or whatever the fish ate? It's for my food. What's he doing in there? Some people say praying. Yeah, okay. That's good. Okay. Excuse me. The Lord said to me, Jesus gave you the answer what Jonah was doing in there. And we read those two verses in Luke and Matthew. Let me ask you this question, and you'll answer it for yourself. Did Jesus really die on the cross? Yes or no? Did he really die? D-I-E. Or did he just say, you know what? I'm suffering all this pain and everything, but, you know, I'm really alive. Think about it. Now, did he really die? Was he D-E-A-D when they laid him in the tomb? All the verses says yes, raise your hand. Yeah. He died. He died. He literally died. He was dead. He didn't fake anybody out. He had to die. You hear me? He had to die. He used the example, the sign of Jonah. So was Jonah alive in the whale? Or was he baking fish? Was he building the fire? Was staying warm? Where am I going? It has to be a picture. God always talks to us in pictures of revelation. If Jonas was alive the whole 3 days in there, then Jesus had to have been alive too. But if Jonah died in the belly of the whale, then it's a perfect sign of what Jesus had to go through. But God, right? Listen to me. Because when we get into Jonah chapter 2, we're going to read Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, and the revelation is going to hit you. Okay? It says here, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God, like what somebody said, that he was in the whale praying, okay, out of the belly of the fish. Okay? It does not say when he was praying, except the last verse in chapter 2. After he prayed, then he was spit on the land. If we go through this, which we're going to a little bit, because I had them just go ahead and put the verses down. I'm going to give them to you if you want to write them down so we can go through them. Because in Jonah chapter 2, it says that he was praying to the Lord out of the belly of the fish. What was he praying? Oh, dear God, save me from this. Help me. I smell like a fish. I don't even like fish. I like leeks and garlic. He was praying scriptures. Verse 1 proves it. He was praying Psalms 130, verse 1 and 2. You can go ahead and put that up there. Psalms 30, 1 and 2 says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Okay, we're going to keep going here. Verse 2 said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. I cried. That's the King James, and that's the Hebrew. Out of the belly of hell. If we're not born again and we die, where do we go? Hell. Hell. Is there any escape from hell? Scripture says no. Because Jesus even taught that there's a great gulf between two places. And nobody can cross it. Except one man. But God. But God. Okay? Did we read... Jonah 2, 3... let's read 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, "For you cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas." That's in Psalm 69. "And the floods compassed me about, and all my billows and thy waves passed over me." That's Psalms 31:22. Let's look at that. Psalms 31:22. That should be up there. "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I did what? When I cried out." Oh my gosh. It seems like Blaine Bartimaeus read something too. He cried out. He cried out. This is a lesson for us. He cried out. Jonah chapter 2 verse 5 says, "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about around my" where? "My head." When Jesus laid in the tomb, he was what? He was covered in grave's cloth. And he also had something wrapped around his head. The book of John says that when Jesus rose from the dead, the head cloth was laid smoothly in place. He raised from the dead. He's painting a picture here. He was dead. The weeds wrapped him up. And he had a cloth around his head or something wrapped on his head. Okay? He's painting a picture here. Go to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 54. That's a new one. "The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off." What does that mean? That means I'm just separated, right? Cut off literally means dead in the Hebrew. I'm dead. You can't talk to me. You can't do anything to me. I'm nowhere to be found. This is what Jonah was praying. But when was he praying it? Let's go to Jonah chapter 2, verse 6. Keep going and sit in Jonah. It says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars." With her bars. Not drinking bars, not pubs. Bars. You know, bars. Hell is like a prison. Understand what he's saying here? "The bars were all about me forever." Forever. This is Jonah talking, and that's in Psalms 116, verse 3. Let's read that one. Psalms 116. "The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol," which is hell, "laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." Psalms 22 talks about, it's a prophetic scripture of when Jesus was talking from the cross and what was prophesied of what he was going to be going through. That's Psalms 22. Glory to God. Jonah chapter 2 verse 7 says, "When my soul fainted within me," when my soul fainted within me, "I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into your holy temple." That's found in Psalm 77, verse 10 and 11. Let's go to there. Psalm 77. "And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Verse 12. I will also meditate on all your work and do what? And do what? Talk of what? Your deeds. I will talk of your deeds. How did these people know that the God of Jonah was so powerful? From hearing, especially what? The stories of when the Israelites were passed through the Red Sea. How could somebody separate the waters and all of Pharaoh's army destroyed? That's a powerful God. Because the Ninevites, they worshipped Dagon. He's the fish god. God does things for a reason. Okay, we'll keep going. Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Hallelujah. Jonah 2:8 says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Psalms 50, verse 23, that should be right there. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation. Or, in Old English and in Hebrew, salvation means Yeshua. If you offer praise to God, God says, I will show you Yeshua. I'll show you Jesus. I'll show you Jesus. This is what he was praying. Oh, glory. Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Oh, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation, or Yeshua, is of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Isaiah 45, verse 17. Check this out. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting Yeshua. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. That's the last part of his prayer. And then let's go to Jonah 2:10. And it says, and the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I want you to think about this for just a second. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he was actually dead for 3 days and three nights. And then when he came to himself, or when God gave him life back, he started praying. And especially when he prayed for Israel. And God said, I've heard enough. I've heard enough. Whale, spit him out. 3 days and nights are up. Time to come back to life. Jonah, let's go. Get on with what I told you to do. Sure, you wasted 3 days and three nights approximately. But what the devil meant for evil, I'm turning it for good. This is going to be a picture of a generation that I see in the future that is dysfunctional. Just like the generation of the people of Nineveh. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. That's all we're going to read with this portion. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Wait a minute, all this disobedience and stuff that he did, he's dead, he's in the whale spits him out. And the Lord says, I got to talk to you again. Is his grace everlasting? Is his forgiveness forever? That's right, it is. Hallelujah. Verse 2, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it in the preaching that I bid you to do. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. That's a big city. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In verse 5 says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. The whole city. The whole city repented. Now I want you to think of something here. These Ninevites worshipped Dagon, the fish god. Now I want you to think about this. They worshipped the fish god, then all of a sudden, if there's anybody near there, but I think he's going to smell like fish. Even though he raised from the dead. Okay, I want you to think about this. When he goes there, and if anybody saw it, they're going to go, oh my gosh. The fish god's trying to tell us something here. Think about this, okay? He even smells fishy. So the whole city repents. The whole city repents. And all he preached was, this whole city will be destroyed within 40 days. And they said, that's all I need to hear. That's it. Okay, time to repent. Put on sackcloth and ashes and let's repent. The whole city repented. That's why Jesus said when he was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, this whole town, everybody in that town will judge you because you didn't repent. They did. From a fish-smelling man, and I am greater than that. And you're not repenting to me. What are you doing? This is the picture Jesus is portraying here, and the difference is what happens during Easter. Okay, he's saying, hey, Jonah died, I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again. And if you believe me, you'll raise again too. You will. You'll rise. You'll rise with me. This is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. And Jesus did all this in the New Testament. Let's go to Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole town repents, we're almost done. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Wait a minute. I laugh a lot with this because he's in the presence of the Lord. He's anointed by the Lord, and he can't stand the Ninevites. He prays for them. He preaches to them. They all get saved, and he's really ticked. What did he expect? Oh, he became very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I went and yet into my country? He said, basically, kill those people. Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that you art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger. Here he goes again with the Psalms. Okay? Slow to anger and of great kindness and repents from all evil. Verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. This is the fleshly side of Jonah coming out now. You see that? He said, kill me. I can't live on this earth with this whole city being saved. I can't do it. They worship fish, which I came out of. I can't live. Take my life. It's over. He says, it is better for me to die than to live. Has anybody ever felt that way before? We have a pity party about certain things, amen? Not in a long time, but that's okay. They're BC. Oh, he's having a pity party. He's saying all this junk. And then the Lord said, in the King James, it says, "Dost thou well to be angry?" Asking a question. You kind of go, what does that mean? In the Hebrew, it actually says, "Jonah, you don't have the right to be angry. You don't have the right. Sorry. Sorry, dude. I did what I did because of who I am. I'm not a God of murder. I'm not a God of death. I'm a God of life, grace, and peace. And if you can't live with these Ninevites, you better find a way. You better find a way." Then Jesus says, "I am the way." You can do it through him. We can. Gosh, man, sometimes, you know, our neighbors just really took us off, right? But that's when God says, "You don't have the right to be angry. You don't. Just love them through the Lord. Because I do. I do." And that's right. It's true. And then verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city. Now he did all this in the city. He's seeing all these guys get born again. Well, basically saved. They repent. He's getting them all. Seeing that, he's going, "Oh my gosh." And it's a big city. He leaves the city. And there he made him a booth. Those of you who know about the seven feasts of God, this is the last feast. And it's a wonder why he made a booth. It's called from the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, it's really a booth or a tent. And if you ever see pictures of Israel during that time, you'll see colored tents all over the city of Jerusalem. Okay, so he made one of these there. A booth, a tent. He made it there. But the funny thing is, no Gentile could come to any of the six other feasts. But Gentiles can come to the seventh, the Feast of Booths and the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah, the seventh, yeah. So he built a booth in his lane. He's basically saying, "I want to invite them, but I just can't. They're heathens, they're Gentiles. I can't do it." But he still builds a booth. He still builds a booth and sat under in it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Basically, he's thinking God's going to change his mind. Anywhere in the scriptures, I've only seen two places where God's changed his mind about some things. And we've talked about it in our Bible study. One is when Moses talked to God. And the scripture in the King James says that God repented, but he changed his mind because he wanted to wipe them all out and start over with Moses, right? Okay. And another time was when Hezekiah was praying. When God said, "Get your affairs in order, it's time to die." He faced the temple, he started praying, and before Elijah leaves the courtyard, he has to turn back. And God said, "Go tell him I give him 15 more years." So he's thinking, God's going to change his mind from what I just said. Because after all, I'm a hot rod. I came out of the fish. He's going to hear me, what I have to say, even though it's against God's nature. So he stayed there waiting to see, poof, the mushroom cloud or whatever over the city, even though they all repented. In closing, that's our thought process on how we see God. And God sees the bigger picture always. Always. Even if he has to look down, decades in the future, he sees a bigger picture for our lives, for who we are, and what he wants this church to become. We see it now in its kind of its infant stage, but you know what? The maturity level is growing. And God is moving in here. I see you guys get this message, and I see the growth spiritually. It's a wonderful thing. It's a humbling thing. And then it's a humbling thing. See, you share this, and the anointing hits you, and it's like, you just grew 10 feet.
Hallelujah.
How'd that happen? Not physically, but spiritually. Oh, yeah. 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 King David experienced that, and he just said, man, I'm a man now who can jump over walls and give me a lion. Let me beat him up. Yeah. Sometimes we can get God's attention in a negative way. But he will always turn it around for good. Always. Everybody say always. One more time.
Always.
It's got to be twice, okay? Always turn it for good. Okay? Now, when you think of the story of Jonah, and anytime you see Jesus where he talked about Jonah being in the belly of the earth 3 days and nights, you're going to picture this. You're going to picture this because this did happen. Okay? Jesus, it happened to him. And when he was risen from the dead, how many people repented? Was it a whole city? Hard to say. A lot of people didn't believe it. I said, no way. The Jews even made up what was called the Passover plot, saying it was fake. It was fake. Okay? That's what they were saying. But God saw us in the decades of time and says, you're going to believe my resurrection. You're going to believe exactly what the people of Nineveh did. They believed Jonah. Now it's your turn to believe Jesus. Or the word that comes from the disciples. Give God a praise. I mean, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for that. Sometimes, as I close here and turn it over to Pastor Denise, sometimes we just have to listen to the word, hear the word, obey the word, and then get out of the way. Hate to say it, but we do. We got to get out of the way. Let the Lord do his things, because sometimes we hinder him. Hate to say it, but we do. Amen? You guys get anything out of this tonight?